to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, May 5th, 2019, by Eric Williams.
Readings, we get stories about two of the most important disciples, apostles, in the Christian church, St. Peter and St. Paul, who were rivals in some way in the early church, but who together, according to Christian tradition, were martyred in Rome in the first century. Peter and Paul represent two of the most important focuses of the early church. Peter was the leader of the Christians who had been Jewish before, that sort of inner group of Jewish disciples and those who lived in Jerusalem. And Paul was the great apostle to the Gentiles who traveled all over Asia Minor, establishing churches and inviting Gentiles to join the church. Today we get both of their, I think, conversion stories. Paul's is so dramatic. Saul is on the road to Damascus. He is, according to the Bible, I love this, breathing threats and murder against the church. He is all in on stamping out this heretical sect of Christians. He's trying to get rid of it completely because he sees it as a threat to traditional Judaism, and he is a diehard Pharisee trying to uphold Jewish tradition. Well, on his way to Damascus, he has this dramatic conversion experience. He sees a light, he is knocked down on the ground, he is struck blind, and he hears the voice of the risen Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he is converted. It takes him 3 days. He kind of walks through the crucifixion experience of Jesus. He is blind for 3 days, just as Jesus had been dead for 3 days before the resurrection. He walks through that kind of baptism experience and then is restored to sight and becomes a leader in the Christian church. Humorously, Ananias, who is his helper along the way, is not so convinced. It's as if, Darth Vader showed up and said, "Hey, I want to be part of the church." You know, there'd be a little suspicion because this was the number one arch enemy of the church. And yet Ananias has the openness to God to go along and to see that God is doing something amazing in the life of St. Paul. Some people get this dramatic conversion experience. Sometimes, you'll go to like a 12-step meeting and people will talk about how their lives were just dramatically changed in one day. They were going one direction, full bore, and then they had this amazing transformation experience and then suddenly went the other way. But I think that's actually kind of rare. I think the St. Paul conversion experience is rarer than we think. I think most of us have a different kind of conversion experience, one that I think is exemplified by the Apostle Peter. Peter, who was with Jesus from the very beginning, one of the first disciples who was called to follow him. Andrew had told him, "Come and see, I met this amazing guy," and because of his brother Andrew, Peter became a disciple and became, in some ways, the leader of all the disciples. He was always with Jesus, even when Jesus only had a small group. It was always Peter that was in the center. Peter listened to all of Jesus' teachings. He witnessed all of Jesus' miracles. And he was the one who impetuously took the first steps of faith. When Jesus walked on the water, it was Peter who got out of the boat and started to walk on the water. It was Peter who said, "You are the Messiah." Jesus was saying, "Who do people say that I am?" It was Jesus who said, "You're the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God." It was Peter who got it first, usually. But Peter who also made the most mistakes. Peter who, after he started walking on the water, panicked and said, "I can't walk on the water," and started to sink. And I love that image. We walk on the water and then we sink. It was Peter who immediately after he said, "You are the Messiah, the Christ," denied Jesus when Jesus said, I'm going to have to suffer. The Son of Man is going to have to suffer. And Peter said, that can't be. And it was Jesus who said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Peter, who I think had to be converted over and over and over again. Most bitterly for Peter, the mistake that he wished he could take back was on the night of Jesus' betrayal and arrest, when Peter followed him into the courtyard of the high priest. Jesus had predicted that Peter would deny him three times before morning. And three times, when Peter had the opportunity to say, yes, I am with Jesus, he said, no, I do not know the man. He said it with a curse, with a vow. It was a bitter betrayal, and he felt it. When Jesus died on the cross, I think Peter felt it perhaps the most deeply of all, because he knew that in the time of trial, he had betrayed Jesus and let him down. So how wonderful in today's gospel, when Jesus appears to the disciples, he's appeared to them twice. Now he appears to them by the shore of the Sea of Galilee. They're fishing, they can't find anything. And then with Jesus, they find an abundance. And then they have breakfast. And then Jesus takes time. Imagine this. He's only got a limited time of resurrection appearances, but he takes special time with Peter. And he asks Peter three times, do you love me? And by the third time, Peter's getting exasperated. Why do you keep asking me this? But what Peter doesn't realize is that what Jesus is doing is giving Peter the ultimate do-over. Just as he had denied Jesus three times, now Jesus gives him the opportunity to say yes three times. Yes, Lord, I love you. It is a healing moment. It is the time, you know, Jesus could have said, oh, I forgive you, Peter, and that would have been enough. But Jesus wants to renew and restore Peter in this relationship. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He's able to tell Jesus three times and to wipe out the memory and the reality of his bitter betrayal. Peter kept needing to be converted over and over and over again. And that is the journey that I would say most closely matches my own journey. I grew up in the church. I've been an Episcopalian my entire life. I went to Episcopal schools from kindergarten through 12th grade. I worked in an Episcopal summer camp. I was even born in an Episcopal hospital. I have had the church with me my entire life. And yet, it doesn't mean that I've had just a straight path of following God and of knowing God in my life. There have been times of doubt, times of betrayal, times where I have sinned. This week, a young woman named Rachel Held Evans died. She grew up in a fundamentalist church. Actually, she grew up in the town in Tennessee where the Scopes monkey trial took place, and grew up in that fundamentalist tradition, and then made her own journey into a different kind of faith. And she got a terrible infection and died at the age of 37 this week. She was a very inspirational writer and speaker, and I was rereading some of her stuff this week, thinking about her and the impact that she had. And I found this story, and I thought it related so nicely to this ongoing conversion experience. She told a story that comes from the Jewish tradition. A group of rabbis told this story. They said, you know, when you're born, God links to you. Every person is linked to God with a string. And that string is our connection to God. And every time we sin and go the wrong path, the string is cut. And then, when we confess our sins with a penitent heart, and for Jews especially around the time of Rosh Hashanah, the archangel Gabriel comes, and he knots the string back together. And this happens for all of us over and over again. The string is knotted, and then we sin, and it's cut, and then the angel Gabriel comes and knots it together again. And the rabbi said, what's amazing about this is that a knotted string is much shorter than the original string. In other words, our journey of sin and repentance, of ongoing conversion and transformation, in the end, brings us much closer to God than we were before. I like to think about that knotted string that connects me to God, a string that even when I break it over and over again, God, through God's grace and mercy, knots it back together and restores me to relationship. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Sinner that I am, failure that I am, weak of faith as I am, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Feed my lambs. We are all given this amazing gift, this relationship with God, a breakable string that can be knotted and re-knotted over and over again. Through the long and winding journey of our lives, I hope that we too, like Peter, can experience the renewing and forgiving love of God and be restored to the relationship that God has with us, a relationship of love, of restoration, and of abundance.